anger of God is revealed from heaven against people who try to hold truth in unrighteousness, and you can't do that. I've had pastors say, "Well, you know, I'm gonna stay with the doctrine, but I don't think all those other things are very necessary." And then it isn't long before all of a sudden truth is gone. They don't believe what they once believed, because God says, "Give it back to me. It's sacred. Truth is sacred." It's the most important thing we have, folks, is truth. Amen. We can't be cavalier about it. We can't be, I don't know if it's that important. It goes on to say, because that which may be known of God is manifested in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even the eternal powers and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Hallelujah. Now go up to verse 16. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And then if you turn to Galatians chapter 1, laying a foundation. Verse number 6, Paul says to the church, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel," or another doctrine, "which is not another, but there be some that would trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." Now, we know the gospel is the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ. And we have the gospel demonstrated in our life to save us with the death, the burial, and resurrection, repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. It says in verse 8, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." Strong language. Curse an angel should he come up with another plan. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please man? For if I yet pleased man, I should not be the servant of Christ. And then 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, verse number 1. "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itchy ears," or "tickle me, tell me what I want to hear, and they shall turn away their ears from truth and shall be turned unto fable. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of the evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." Lord, we ask your blessing upon the word tonight, God, that we have a greater love for it. Embrace it and keep it and hide it and protect it, God. Lord, because it's the thing that'll save us. It'll keep us in the church. It'll keep us in your favor. It's all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. George Orwell once said, "The further a society drifts from truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." Isn't that the truth? Why would people be so annoyed with us? It's because the rest of the world is moving away from truth, moving away from morality, moving away from the things that the Bible holds so important. Every year at this time, the President of the United States gives a State of the Union address, what has been accomplished during the year, and what needs to be done in the following year. If the preacher doesn't clarify who we are and where we're going, we have a tendency to do nothing and to forget who we are and how important it is to be who God wants us to be. Every January, every minister of our fellowship, there's probably something like 20,000 licensed ministers in the United Pentecostal Church. And every January, we receive a statement of affirmation that must be signed or we forfeit our license. There is no doubt of what we believe and what we stand for as an organization. And so I just got mine in the mail, and I've signed it, I've sent it. And what it fundamentally says is, let me just read a portion of it. Whereas we are commanded in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the traditions which he received of us, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them, according to Romans 16 and 17. Whereas the fundamental doctrine and the articles of faith of our organization are spiritual teachings, whereas it is our pledge to wholeheartedly teach and preach our standards of holiness, which we all agree to abide by when we applied for membership in the United Pentecostal Church International. And wherefore we are forbidden to speak or write in opposition to any of the articles of faith, whereas some have endeavored to retain their current fellowship card while departing from the faith as outlined in our articles of faith. Therefore, be it resolved that the following statement be sent to each minister to be signed before his or her fellowship card for the following year is mailed from the World Evangelism Center. I do hereby declare that I believe and embrace the fundamental doctrine as stated in the Articles of Faith as set forth in the manual of the United Pentecostal Church International. I also believe and embrace the holiness standards of the United Pentecostal Church International as set forth in said Articles of Faith and pledge to practice and preach and teach the same. And that needs to be signed by every minister, or he should not be able to carry a license. Why? Because we're trying to preserve the fundamental truth and doctrine that once saved us. And so I believe it, I hold to it, and that's why I teach it. I try to teach it as often as I can without trying to go overboard, but you know, we have to be reminded of what is important. We look at Deuteronomy, and it says that if a man builds a house, and if he doesn't put a fence around the top floor, and they were all flat-roofed homes back then, and if somebody falls off their roof and is injured, they're responsible because they didn't put a fence around their roof. And what God is saying is somebody's got to put up a fence for the protection, you know, not for anybody's hurt, but for the protection. How many remember Lance Appleton? A few of you do. Years ago, he's preached here, and he's just a little different than everybody else. Sometimes he'd play three instruments at one time. I remember him coming up here and playing on the keyboard and then sitting down at the altar and taking his shoes off and putting on tennis shoes because he felt more comfortable and ready to worship. But he wrote a song, and my voice isn't very good tonight, but here's the song. It says, I'm a one God, apostolic, tongue-talking, holy rolling, born again, heaven-bound believer in the liberated power of Jesus' name. I've been washed in the blood, sanctified in the spirit. I believe in holiness, and I suggest that you do the same. I was set free at a Pentecostal altar on my knees. Pardon me if I'm not ashamed to be a one God, apostolic, tongue-talking, holy-rolling, born-again, heaven-bound believer in the liberating power of Jesus' name. That's us, folks. That's our affidavit. We're not changing from that. Glory to God. And thank God for somebody who will declare it. Could you take your Bibles and turn to Revelation, the third chapter, please? Revelation, chapter 3, verse number 5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his sins before my Father and before his angels. So if we overcome, we're going to be clothed in white raiment, and our names will not be blocked out of the book of life. Now, there are certain religions that believe once saved, always saved. But clearly, we have to endure to the end. The same shall be saved. Stay with that which we were saved by. And otherwise, we can lose our salvation. If you go to Acts, the 10th chapter, Acts chapter 1 and verse number 10. As Jesus was being taken up into the clouds, it says, and while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Now, as I envision angels, I always envision them in white. As I envision saints, I always envision them in white. I know that when we go up, the Bible says we're going to put on robes of white linen, pure white linen. Then Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it, he's talking about the bride, to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. God's coming back for a pure bride, not take me as I am. And then one last scripture for now is Isaiah, the 1st chapter. Verse number 18. It says, come now and let us reason together, or be right together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat of the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken. God's saying, come on, let's get together, let's be reasonable, and you shall be as white as snow. God wants us to be able to reason with him, and he wants a reason with every soul on the earth. He has pleaded his case to come together by every means possible, by conscience, by the word of God, by witnesses, by the preaching. Even nature itself screams that God loves us. Hebrews 1:1 says, God who at sundry or many times and in divers or different manners spake in times past unto the Father by the prophets, later came in the express image of God, and then in the form of the Holy Ghost, all that people could be recognized and reconciled to God by his prompting through all of these different vehicles, if you will. Even though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool or white. Now, in the forest of northern Europe lives a very tiny little animal called an ermine. I was looking out our bedroom window this week, and we have a creek that runs behind our house, and of course it's frozen over and there's white on it, and I saw this little mink running down this creek, and an ermine is looking just like a mink, only it is pure white. It is widely known for its snow-white fur. The ermine takes tremendous pride in its pristine white coat. It has a pride to it, if you will. Hunters have a hard time catching the ermine because of its intelligence, yet hunters know that the ermine values its white fur even above its own life, if you think about that. It's so prideful of what it is and what it looks like. So the hunters have taken advantage of the ermine's nature to keep its coat clean and white. So the hunter finds what appears to be its den or its lair at the entrance and smears the entrance with filth, mud, or grease, or some kind of dead refuse. And as the dogs encircle and gradually come in closer, the ermine flees to its lair. But when he finds the entrance full of filth, the animal refuses to enter into safety because he wants to preserve the purity of his coat. He would rather turn its back on filth and face its attackers, rather stained with blood than be spoiled by filth. Now, what's the point here? How much do we value the purity? Come, let's reason together. Though you were as scarlet, you'll be white as snow. Everything that I see about on our way to heaven is going to be robes of righteousness, pure white as linen. Leonardo da Vinci used only ermine brushes to paint his greatest masterpieces. In Europe, the ermine is a symbol of the high cost of purity. Are we willing to take a stand against those who attack our holiness, our purity? Are we? Even if it means there's going to be attack. Romans 13 and 14 says, "But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." I want to keep my coat clean no matter what. God is saying, let us reason together. I want to be your God, but I'm not going to be your God anyway. Any way you think, you know? It's going to be my way, you see. But I paid a price so you could be white as snow. Glory to God. Listen, God wants us to enjoy this life that he gave us to the full. Hallelujah. We are not supposed to be sad, down and out people because we got all these restrictions on us. But he wants us to have liberty and joy and gladness in our life. But it only has to be according to his dictates, not ours. Be happy. Don't worry. Enjoy your salvation and your family that God has given you. You know, there were some very costly presents given to our kids just recently, but you know what the kids are really looking for? Not so much the costly presents, but a reassurance that their parents really love them. God doesn't make us happy because of the things that he gives us, but the demonstration of his love for us over and over again. Hallelujah. Would you turn to Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter? Ecclesiastes 9 and verse number 7. It says, "Go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine with merry heart, for God now accepteth thy works. Let thy garments be always white, and let thy head lack no ointment. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of thy life, of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun, all of the days of vanity, for that is thy portion in this life and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do with all thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. So God's saying, I want you to enjoy life. I'm going to give it to you. You can be happy in what you're doing. I'm not holding anything back. But I'll tell you what, he's saying, you need to have white garments on, that your head lacketh no oil. See, what I recognize is there is something between the righteousness and the anointing. I'm afraid that our garments can get spotted without us realizing, because we enter into the wrong layer with the wrong people. And now all of a sudden we're thinking that we're just as fine because they think it's okay, then it must be okay. And then their head lacketh anointing. Like so many have said, well, you know what, I like this part, but I don't like that part. It doesn't seem to be important. But then all of a sudden you realize, where's the anointing? Where's the presence of God? Hallelujah. Our joy fades, and we aren't as happy with our family as we used to be. Ecclesiastes 9 and 7 says, let thy garments be always white, and let thy head lack no ointment. It said, even work is a rewarding part of life. If we get to that state, the Lord pleads with us like he did with Israel. You got to come back. You got to come back to the full truth. If you'll turn to Micah, Minor Prophet, Old Testament, Micah chapter 6. Verse number 1. Hear ye now what the Lord saith. Arise, contend thou before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice. Hear ye, O mountains, the Lord's controversy, and ye strong foundations of the earth. For the Lord hath a controversy with his people, and he will plead with Israel. O my people, what have I done unto thee, and wherein have I wearied thee? Testify against me. For I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, and redeemed thee out of the house of servants, and I sent before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. And my people remembered how that Balak, king of Moab, consulted, and that Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him from Shittim unto Gilgal, that ye may know the righteousness of the Lord. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings and calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgressions, the fruit of my body for the sins of my soul? He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. So sometimes we think we can put all of our own sacrifice, or the way we feel God should accept us, when God's saying, no, no, this is it. You see, glory to God. It is truth and the Holy Ghost fire that keeps our garments white. Isaiah 9 and 5. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So we find, how is your battle going to be won? Is it going to be through what you put forth? We've got a baby that came and presented himself as a perfect, pure sacrifice, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, who manifests himself in flesh. It said every battle has confusion or lack of clarity or lack of truth. And because our garments are rolled in blood, which cause us to be whiter than snow, we have a fire burning as fuel, and we have the truth of one God, Jesus, the Mighty God incarnate, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. If truth is fallen in the streets, then there is no way to keep our garments white. It's the only way we can. Dentists tell us to guard against tooth decay. Preachers warn us of the dangers of truth decay. And it really can be eroded, especially if it's not taught. Truth is not an average of words. Truth is an irrevocable standard. Truth is forever settled in heaven. God isn't going to change his mind. Turn to Psalms 19. I know I'm making you work. Psalms 19 and verse number 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is a great reward. A great reward. Sometimes we only can see the right now. And we have to have a greater vision. That's why the State of the Union, got to have a vision of what's going to happen. We're going to see greater things if we espouse this book and line up with what God is pleased with. Don't you just love winter? I talked to Brother East yesterday down in Texas. He said it was 30 degrees there in Texas, and he couldn't wait until winter was over in a couple of days. He said, I know it'll be 60 by the end of the week, you know. I hung up on him. I just... In Wisconsin, you know, it's going to get cold. There isn't much we can do about it, you know. It just gets cold. And in the world, it even is colder. Have you noticed the inside temperature is always affected by how cold it is outside? You know, I can set the thermostat at exactly the same as it was when it was 40 degrees outside, but it's colder inside. And so the church is always affected by what's going on the outside. You see, and the colder it gets out there, the further people are from the truth, the more they compromise, the easier it is for the church to compromise and say, well, some people are just comfortable in the cold. And I get all my news over the internet, and sometimes I go to YouTube to see some things, and as a result, I have to sometimes endure some of the commercials. The one I saw not too long ago was this guy from Sweden. I think his name was Hans, and he dives into a hole in the ice and then comes up just in a swimming suit and then sits in a whole barrel of ice cubes. And he said, it doesn't even feel cold. Well, the forecast for this world is cold, 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 and colder. And they don't even feel the difference because they're numb to it, you see. Jesus said in Matthew 24 and 12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Actually, the word wax here in the same is the word cold. Many shall be cold, cold. Some just don't feel it anymore. They become numb. That can happen to us, folks. We can become numb. I remember coming into the church and being baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. I was just so in love with God, so full of God inside. And I remember the first time somebody swore on the job, and it was like, oh, please, please don't do that. Where a week before that, it would have just rolled off my back. It wouldn't have made a difference anymore. And if we can get to the place where we were baptized 36 years ago today, in Jesus' name, you can get to the place where, well, it doesn't bother me so much anymore. Because we can wax cold. Same-sex marriage is now accepted. It's getting colder. Cells from an unborn child taken to prolong the years of the age, it's getting colder. Millions of babies aborted, colder, colder. Doctors assist suicide. Young people committing suicide, it's awfully cold. Churches becoming like the world. It's winter. It would be easy for me to say, it doesn't matter what the world is doing, but it really does have an effect on each and every one of us. The temperature inside is affected by what's going on outside, and we're exposed to it over and over and over again, and it's kind of a dumbing down. We become numb to it. As the world gets colder to the things of God, the church also can lose its fire. I hate to see what's going on even in our organization, where there are many churches who have decided to have less church and shorter services and more fellowship. And would you turn to Romans, the 13th chapter? Romans chapter 13, verse number 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, and not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. We get a false sense of security because everybody else is doing it. I wonder how many times over the last 25 years I've counseled with teenagers in my office, and their greatest excuse is, well, everybody else is doing it. But adults, we can get to the same place. Well, they're doing it over there. Why shouldn't? Right. Have you talked to Jesus? Amen. What has he said? Amen. It's time we put on the winter coat. Yeah. All right. Even the animals change coats in the wintertime. The darker the world becomes, the more we need to put on the armor of light. Galatians 5 and 16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. According to this scripture, living for God isn't hard at all. It's just you got to live for God hard. In fact, Proverbs 13 and 15 says, the way of the transgressor is hard. We all need to do what's right. by walking in the Spirit. Keep feeding the spiritual man. Keep coming to church. Keep reading the Word. Keep talking to God. Even though we don't feel like we're worthy to talk to God, keep talking to Him anyway. It's like the former alcoholic that passes by the tavern, smells the smoke, hears the music, sees his old buddies. The temptation is there. But he doesn't walk in, doesn't make provision for the flesh, but he crosses the street and goes into the Culver's. And there he has a double cheeseburger with an extra large fry, a chocolate malt, and then a hot fudge sundae. And when he walks out, he's completely satisfied. And he's not tempted by going into bar across the street. Now, I don't want to give you a mixed message here. But if we walk out of a church service and we're so full of God, and we felt the presence of God, and we worship God, and we heard the Word of God, and we walk out of this place, we're so full and we're so satisfied that we won't be tempted by the things of this world anymore. Hallelujah. I can't make provisions for the flesh. Our goal is to fill up on the right things and be satisfied with what God has given us. If we aren't satisfied with the things of God, we will be drawn to that which is going to soil our garments. One more thing. The name ermine comes from the French word meaning white winter coat. An ermine isn't born with a white coat. He is actually born in the spring, and he has a light brown coat, and it only becomes white as winter approaches, that it lives up to its name. It's when the hard times come into our lives that we live up to the name of Jesus. We were born in sin. We weren't born with a coat of righteousness, but then we put on Christ and we put on the righteousness of our God. And he says, keep your garments, because no one's going to be accepted at the wedding table without the proper garments. Our last scripture is in Revelation, the 19th chapter, where musicians would come. I think I use this scripture at almost every wedding that I do. Revelation 19, verse number 7, it says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Jesus has sent out all of the invitations, but we need to dress for the occasion. Hallelujah. He's saying, come now and let us reason together. And though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. I'm glad I've dressed for the occasion. I'm glad. Lot's wife tried to take Joseph's coat. Joseph's brothers tried to take his coat. And I'm telling you, church, we're living in a day not only the world, but other churches are going to try to take your garments from you. When society moves that way, anybody that speaks truth is going to be criticized. Hallelujah. But there's going to come a day when my God is going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter in. Come on. Come on, enter in. Because you reasoned with God. You didn't reason with the world. This is the word. Would you stand with me, please?